El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I write a weekly column for Cracked called The People vs. Adam Todd Brown, and I use that column to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then, I come on this show to defend those opinions. Joining me today, he's the Republican nominee for president this year, which is hands down the most terrifying development in American history in a lot of years. The only thing crazier than his hair and his weird baby hands are his ideas. Nevertheless, he's got a good chance of running this country for the next 4 years. Ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump. That's who we're talking about today anyway. Also joining me, these three have either been on podcasts where we talked about Trump before, or, you know, they've been on podcasts where we didn't talk about Trump before. I work with all of them, but only one of them told me how wrong I was on the air, and we're going to make him pay for it today. Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Sargent, Tom Ryman, and Randall Maynard. It's going to be a great show. Oh, boy.
Ooh, I gotta get Are my, we recording? I got to get my notes.
I like Prez Belusky a lot. We should just do a... Can we just talk about The Wire?
Absolutely not. Especially not you. We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. If you listen to the intro, which I don't know why you would skip the intro and just cut right to us talking. Oh. It was a very awkward intro because I was just going to introduce Donald Trump. And then we were just... Because there's three people here.
Well, he's not here.
No, but I'd say... You'll understand when you hear the intro. But then Brett was like, well, we don't have the song edited in a way that you can just do one. So then I improvised introducing all three of you at once, and it went terribly. It was awkward.
It sounds awful.
I mean, you haven't even heard it yet, you son of a bitch.
So we need to save the show from you right now?
That's our job? Yeah, it's already...
You just got to fix...
We're like 2 minutes in, and it's gone completely off the rails. Two minutes if you add the intro to the clock.
I'm holding... There's too many people in this room, so I'm holding one of the microphones in my lap.
This show is literally worse than the Republican National Convention right now.
Nothing was worse than
was
that.
Was it literally worse? I don't think that's true. I don't think that's a statement that even you believe.
Are we nitpicking my use of the word literally or hyperbole?
Both.
I'm going to stand here and ask the unpopular opinion listeners to vote with their conscience.
Ooh.
Oh.
Which is not for Adam.
That was a Ted Cruz joke for everyone. You remember when
Josh just switched on Cruz
to like
control.
Lose you an election, yeah. Making like a weird noise.
Yeah, those days are long gone.
Yeah, like fucking Trump is up there like fuck Jews and black people and gays, and we're like, yeah, fucking make him president.
Brett,
yeah.
Can you make a drop of Tom yelling that?
Yeah, that would be. Please. That would be appropriate for this.
Super excited I said that.
I want that to be the sign-off on every show.
Oh, so yeah, we're talking about Trump this week.
Yeah, I think he's going to win.
I do too, I definitely, like, especially after his speech at the Republican National Convention.
His speech, which was in the news, this killed me. Like, I read, I forget where it was, it might have been The Guardian or something.
Oh, wait, before you start, Josh.
Yeah.
Remember the last Trump podcast you were on?
You said, yeah, I kind of remember.
You said, hey, Adam, you're all wrong. Do you want to talk about that today? Hit it, Brad. The hardest part of this show for me is the first few minutes I forgot I had to cut someone off. Because I spend all that time asking everyone else, but we are going to ask you about that shit, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
We have a clip from
it
and
everything. We're going to hash this out.
I was hoping we'd have a clip.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to suggest getting
There's
a clip.
Definitely a clip, you son of a bitch. It's going down today. Anyway, we call the segment This Week in Me. It's about to get really intense. Fade it out, Brett. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
The write-up that I read about his speech the following day said that it was like Trump's speech was unpopular with fact-checkers.
yeah.
Which is the most insane way to say that something is full of lies.
As in like, fact-checkers couldn't be bothered?
No. As in, like, it was unpopular with fact checkers because it contained a lot of obfuscation.
But that's actually
false statements.
Unpopular.
But the American people really enjoyed it.
Well, unpopular with fact checkers is a great description of everything of Trump. Yeah. Because he doesn't get called
literally everything on, he says is a lie.
Well, it's that's true. But it's such a brilliant description of him of because truth. Those lies don't matter to like, his supporters.
Well, right.
And my column this week is about all the things I learned from accurately predicting the future mm-hmm. back in October. Right. That's the title I'm pulling for also. But I forgot what I was going to say. Well, I got so excited.
It's weird that that's still like a thing. Because, like, last night, the DNC started last night, and, you know, within minutes, you know, factcheck.org is up on Twitter being like, well, Hillary's saying some shit that's not true. You think they'd stop that, like,
yeah.
Politicians in general. Like, back in the day, you could say whatever the fuck you wanted, and nobody would ever be able to call you on it. But, like, now we have all of the world's knowledge at our hands at any given moment.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you say something that's just not true, everyone's gonna know. Well, I mean, yeah. Like it's really easy to check that.
Well,
so you'd think they would retire that particular weapon.
Well, what's amazing is that they don't fact check it. Like people don't look it up and don't.
That needs to be care. A thing. Yeah, like
yeah. Well, with stuff like speeches, they do. I feel like this is all stuff I bring up in my column, but I feel like we wait for presidential candidates to tell us things. Like, especially with Trump, everything he told us in that RNC speech was on his website back in October. It's just that no one read it. And even now, going through the speech, all anyone wants to talk about is the facts he got wrong. And that's why I think popular or unpopular with fact checkers is a good way to describe him, because his base and the people who are ultimately going to vote for him who aren't his base yet, they don't care about fact checkers. They're feelings people. Those are the same people who say Kurt Cobain can't play guitar because he wasn't technically great. It's about feeling. It's about emotion. That's what his speech was. It doesn't matter. Like, I mean, it matters.
It's super matters.
No. It matters, but it doesn't. It's not going to affect his
right.
chances
yeah,
of
no,
being
like,
what I talked about in my column today, which will be have been weeks ago.
You fucking guys, wrong.
No,
with
this
your
is
column.
Wrong. This is actually going up today.
Shut your
later
mouth.
Today. Yeah. It's going up later today.
I can't tell if you're just fucking.
No. It is going cool. up later, either yeah. later today or tomorrow.
It looks so like my, Adam is intensely fucking with you.
Yeah. No, it's today. No, it is.
Yeah, my column about why you might someday vote for Trump points out that if you look at a graph of trust in media, it's gone steadily down since the 70s. But if you divide that line up by party affiliation, Democrats have basically trust the media now as much as they have for the past couple decades.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Republicans, it's gone way, way down. So
right, because it's telling them what they don't want to hear.
Sure. You know, I mean, I don't want to like say that about all Republicans. Like maybe
I don't want to get into why. I'll say it.
I agree. But regardless, they don't trust the fact checkers. So when we say, well, Trump is lying, they just, well, yeah, because you're part of the liberal media elite. So they right. just don't want to. They don't want to hear it.
That becomes like a blanket excuse for everybody, though, about the media. They're like, yeah. Oh, they're leaving out the stuff about the lizard people and the Illuminati. You can't trust the media. So it kind of goes both ways. Like for fact checkers, you want people to be like on the truth and holding people accountable. But then on the other side, you got crazy people who you'll never convince of the truth.
Right. Yeah.
And they'll still say like the media is unreliable for like weird reasons.
And yeah. And my point is that it's bigger than just Trump supporters. It's obviously the crux of Trump's support and campaign is that he is the opposite of truth and fact-checking. But yeah, I think it's very similar to when people talk about how, for example, like I remember when Jon Stewart at the height of his popularity, it was The Daily Show is a better news organization than the media. That was never true. It was a comedy show that made a lot yeah. of jokes, and it was very good at what it did, but it's not, you know, better than journalism. So it's just people want an excuse to ignore facts.
It was
and,
commenting on journalism.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And people want an excuse to ignore.
And I feel like that's where a lot of the, I want Trump to be president because I'm a comic. I feel like that's where a lot of that kind of shit started. Like the Daily Show's run
yeah.
when Bush was president. People were like, oh, he's a terrible president, but great for comedy.
Right.
And you can't say that about Trump. Like he's not ultimately going to be great for comedy unless you like Holocaust Part 2.
We're already actually, running like, out of Orange Hedgehog jokes.
He's neutralizing comedy actually because he's so far ahead of comedians in developing weird material that you would never imagine. Like
yeah.
his whole campaign's so hyperbolic that you're like, how do you outdo what he's saying? Well, how do you go further than
yeah,
this? You can't satirize a cartoon character.
Yeah, it's yeah. almost like trying to make fun of like a 5-year-old.
Yeah, mm-hmm. kind
of. Because, like, first of all, it's never going to, like, it's never going to reach him. He
I don't know.
Care.
I've made fun of a lot of five-year-olds. It's very satisfying.
Right, and normally,
yeah,
like,
I feel like you can get to a five-year-old.
Right, like, if you
give me 5 minutes of the five-year-old, I will break him.
Yeah.
We could ruin a five-year-old.
Right, yeah, no, if you can't make him, right. if you can't make him cry with your words, then you can beat him with your fists. That's how you deal with children.
First of all, monster in this room every time I turn the lights off. That's the first thing we need to establish, kid. Now let's see if we can make you cry. Easy.
But, like, he doesn't care.
His ability to
rule. His time just got sad.
He's a frustrating human being.
If I was looking at the reaction to his speech from the position of a Trump supporter who wasn't dropped on their head as a child, I think my argument would be something like, okay, he got the numbers wrong. But does that mean he's wrong? That
well,
they
even,
need to do something about crime in inner city areas?
You have to be so far beyond that as far as self-delusional, because it's not just that he gets the numbers wrong, he gets the interpretation of the facts wrong. So, yeah, their crime in certain inner cities is up, but overall it's down.
Yeah, but even then, is that implying that the problem's fixing itself and that
no, but
needs to
for
be
him
done
to
about
take
it?
For him to take the information and to convince his followers that America is like this lawless place and like we've never been more in danger, that's absolutely not true.
Yeah
and I think there's an inherent value in getting the facts right. Like you arrive to the correct conclusion by just listing bullshit statistics.
Right, I'd like to see the numbers on that.
If you're because you're saying he's a feelings guy, he absolutely is. But
no, I'm saying his voters are.
So you're saying he's like that, the feelings guy. Yeah, compare right. him to Kurt Cobain, right? You think Donald Trump is the Kurt Cobain?
No, I compared. No, I compared people who shit on Kurt Cobain's guitar playing for not being technically perfect to people who shit on Trump for not nailing the stats.
I'm still not because, there with you at all.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying Trump is a good thing. I'm not saying what he's doing is good. I'm just telling you that's how his supporters
right.
think.
His RNC speech was like the endless nameless of nominee acceptance speeches?
You're going way too obscure with the Nirvana references. That song's not even listed in the track listing on Nevermind.
It's on his
who are you trying to get cred from? Look around.
People who've listened to Nevermind.
All those look around this room.
Obscure Nirvana fans.
Like the only people who know the name of that track are not going to respect you more naming it. Yeah, absolutely. What Josh was saying about facts are important because even though all of his supporters are feelings people, like they're like, the facts may be wrong, but he's nailing the emotion of it. That emotion still comes from a place of misinformation. It's irrational
right.
because the fear is based on not anything factual. It's not right. based on reality. So even though it's like, well, he's unpopular with fact checkers, but they still got the feeling of it right. If that feeling comes from an irrational place, an unjustified place, it doesn't make it any more valid. It's still just as invalid.
Right. He's like, he's playing into their biases. So it's like, oh, you found a bunch of voters who are like people who are afraid of the other because there's so many different types of people around now. Like you got, there's different races, different sexualities, all kinds of stuff. And as long as you can label everything bad,
right.
then you're just fanning those flames. And they're like, oh yeah, it's just like confirmation bias thing.
Confirmation bias.
And so, yeah, I don't think that that's...
And he's...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I didn't.
Friend was like, I'm done.
The radical Islamic terror thing, I think, is a great example of that because he says, if they just said radical Islamic terror and Obama's just like, we talked to.
And that
was a strategy thing.
Like, that's
there are 1.6 billion Muslims in the world.
Yeah.
Roughly 1.6 billion of them aren't terrorists. Mm-hmm. So don't lump them all together and
they
try
also,
to make them the enemy.
They also, Obama administration has used that phrase before. They just don't do it
and it
that
wouldn't matter
often.
If he started using it
right like it's
daily
not gonna
now
yeah
like Republicans wouldn't be like, oh yeah, he is cool,
see he's
how about how
he's
about another 4 years of that guy,
that's pretending it's not the problem.
The argument
that he's not lumping all of Islam, all Muslims in with terrorists is like bad is
right.
It's such a that's
right.
directly
it's a fundamentally
to,
broken argument.
Yeah but it feels good to the lizard part of your racist brain, if you're a racist. Not mine, of course, because I have purged all biases from my
mind. I mean, I'll go ahead and I'll go ahead and say it. If you're voting for Trump, you are a racist.
Oh yeah, no, that's true.
You may not like realize it, but you are a fucking racist if you're voting for Trump.
Well, here's the thing. I said a long time ago that at some point he was going to really start courting inner city and black voters, which he did in his speech.
Yeah, like in a really...
He did a rap in the middle of his speech.
Yeah, hilariously clumsy way, but he absolutely...
But if, like, you can go read his immigration policy right now.
Yeah.
Everything about it is focused on how illegal immigration affects inner city areas. Nothing in it references fucking racists or racism. It's all about how illegal immigration affects inner city areas.
Yeah, and he started attacking sanctuary cities like you said he was going to.
Oh, yeah, because that was also, that's like, literally in his immigration policy. It says we will end sanctuary cities. It said that since October. But now that he just said it in his RNC speech, people are like, oh, shit, is he going to go after sanctuary cities? Yeah, he said he was going to, like, 9 months ago. But here's the thing. Even by making illegal immigration, by pitting it as something that affects black people primarily, he's still kind of playing on racism. Because black people and Mexicans haven't always had the greatest race relations either. And that's not my personal opinion. That's a thing you can fucking Google if you need to. That's not a secret. So he's still playing on racism, but he's going to do it in a way that's really hard for white people to call racist. Are you going to call black people racist for voting for Trump?
Yes.
Yeah, I would too.
100%.
I would, yeah, I would too. But will Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, no. Because the public conversation about race and racism is so undeveloped and like still at those. Yeah. Just getting people to acknowledge that it still exists.
Well, I don't
it's really non-existent.
Yeah, I mean, and the Republicans said not long ago they had a tribute to Rosa Parks, and they said we're honoring the role she played in ending racism.
Whoa!
And
thank you, Rosa Parks.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
That's like a popular argument among Trump supporters.
That it's over.
Like if you weed through any replies on Twitter to anything about Trump being racist. A really popular argument is that we're all one people, you know, the racism is over. Like you're the one who's perpetuating racism. And he said that, like when he had the controversy about when he retweeted that fucking just blatantly anti-Semitic meme about Hillary that had the Star of David on it. And then he took that back and then replaced it with a circle, but he's still like in the hashtag for that tweet, he still said, it was like hashtag America first. And America first was the fucking pro-Nazi movement in America in the 20s that was arguing that invading Germany was part of a Jewish conspiracy to topple Germany, or going to war with Germany, I'm sorry, was part of a Jewish conspiracy. Charles Lindbergh was like their big guy. And then he had hashtag America first and then hashtag I'm with you. So he was still saying, anti-Semites, I'm still with you, but I'm going to change the star to a circle so that I can't get yelled at. But like that was Trump's argument for the negative reaction to that meme, was like, well, you're the ones who are being racist by saying it's racist.
Yeah. Like, yeah, and I think that's eventually how that's going to be his argument for almost everything.
Right.
Is, no, you're racist. I'm not racist.
Yeah, it's playground rules.
It's a
point at the other person.
Everything he does is playground rules. Yeah. He's just...
How is he so good at the internet?
I don't know.
Well, he's great at it.
He's a 70-year-old man.
Yeah.
I think he knows where his people are on the internet and what kind of language they use. He just knows how to make racists feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, why can't Hillary Clinton make people feel good about themselves? Like, regular people. Because she's terrible at the internet.
She's not a very...
she's
not a very
fucking horrible.
Not a very personable person.
Yeah, and it...
She's, like one of those people, like... She's one of those people who's like really good at her job, but like everybody in the office complains about her because she doesn't smile.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
Like, so it's like, all right.
I love that our nation is collectively telling a prominent professional woman
to smile more.
Smile
100%.
More.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wish she wouldn't engage Trump on social media.
I wish she wouldn't engage Trump at all. Like, that would honestly be the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Because everything he says is the stupidest fucking thing ever. Like, and he just, that's all he does is continually say the stupidest fucking thing ever.
Yeah.
So ideally, like, I mean, by the time this goes up, the DNC will be pretty much over. But ideally, like, for the Democrats, like, what would have been the best thing for them was to just not mention him at all. Like, just during the entire convention, never say his name.
That would have been ballsy.
Well, just talk about, like, what
issues.
Yeah, like what things. A Hillary Clinton presidency is going to look like, as opposed to the fucking apocalyptic and wasteland of a Donald Trump.
That's the problem too. They're basically advertising for Trump, like everywhere. Yeah. Like he's just all over everything, and it's like he's so powerful. It makes him seem so powerful that you can't escape him. That's like a big problem, because it's like, fuck that guy. Just talk about some serious shit. Don't worry about that. But no one can ignore him. Like everyone, he's so insidiary. It's like everyone's just like constantly like, wait a minute, that's not right. And it's like, no, you're falling into his trap. He's just saying bullshit stuff.
Yeah.
But we're still ignoring him, I think, in a lot of ways. Like I feel like after his RNC speech, people were like, okay, yeah, but well, you don't have any plans for any of this. Yeah, he does. It's on his fucking website. Just go read it. Like, even when he was way back in,
right
at the end of the year, talking about, oh, I'll make Mexico pay for the wall. And people were like, how are you going to do that? It was on his website. Now it's on his website in a whole expanded form. He's got like an entire section. And it's exactly what was in his immigration plan. It's exactly what I said in October. He's going to seize remittance payments. It was really simple. It was really easy to figure out if you read the shit. And people were still like, prominent media people were like, but he doesn't have a plan for how he's going to build the wall. Yeah, he did. You fucking lazy bastards just didn't look at it. And
I think we talked about this in a video. Would
work though, right? Like that's.
I mean, he's got
it could work.
It's like, I think it's like borderline criminal and unconstitutional. But yeah,
that won't matter.
Every fucking plan of his is
Once he's in office, that shit's not going to matter. For one thing, he can declare a state of emergency over illegal immigration.
Then he can do whatever he wants.
Then he could. His plan is literally to have people at Western Unions and money transfer spots verify that anyone of Mexican descent to prove that they're in this country legally before they can send money via Western Union. So he's like literally going to have people in those locations checking papers to make sure they're in this country legally.
Every 7-Eleven?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Or either that, or he'll just put regulation in place.
Yeah.
Like some sort of ID requirement. You have to like
put in your social security number or something.
Yeah. But it would be as easy as that. And I mean, some people would still circumvent it, but he is also right in that if that went on for an extended period of time, that would have an impact on Mexico's economy, because they get a lot of money in remittance payments from us every year. It's millions. It's like 25 million. It might even be more than that. It might be billions. They get tons of remittance money from the United States. So he's absolutely right that if we stepped in one day and we're just like, no more remittance money, it would damn near cripple Mexico. They made more money in remittance payments than oil money last year. So it's not a small amount. It's a big part of their economy. And his, again, now it's on his website in a big expanded way. What he says is if Mexico agrees to fund building the wall, he won't put that rule in place that would require people to prove they're from this country before they send money home. But if Mexico doesn't agree to build the wall, then he is basically going to stop people from being able to send money back home.
So he's got them in a Mexican standoff?
Basically, yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Good one. There it is.
Woof.
Wait, let me do my drum roll.
But that's not like, that's when I wrote the column back then, it was me reading into kind of what he was saying. But now that, like what I just said, is literally on his website. He says if they don't give us the money to build the wall, then we're going to put that rule in place.
Does he realize there is no upside to that plan for America?
Yeah. I mean, like, he must.
There isn't. Like
some people kind of feel better.
There's no version. There's no. Yeah. Like all it's going to be is people who are racist are going to feel better. Like there's no.
Will the wall be visible from space? Because that'd be kind of cool.
Right. Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome. Rad.
Like if it's like makes the Great Wall of China look like a fucking piece of shit.
Right. A
fucking piece of shit. Great wall.
Yeah, like if we look at
got the greatest wall. Like, that's what like, he would like call, I guarantee we would call it the greatest wall.
That's like the problem with Trump is
Trump
that
wall.
He's lowered the discourse. He's made the conversation dumb.
Yeah.
So definitely. Like you can't engage him on an intellectual level. So it's like he's forcing everyone, if they want to make any kind of impact, to engage him on his level. And it's just, so we're all just dumb fucking assholes shouting at each other on a playground. Yeah. Like, nobody's... there's one step, like you said, like, everybody's like, well, he doesn't have a plan. Yeah, he does have a plan, but nobody's engaging him about his plan. Like, if somebody asked him, like, the question that I just posed, what's the upside for America for this? Nobody's doing that. Nobody is...
But he'd probably have an excuse about the economy, because he'd be like, oh, well, then all those jobs that Mexicans are stealing will go to white people.
Right,
and it's like, well, no, those are not... Yeah, that's
so
not going to happen.
If he responded with that, and somebody... Like, nobody's doing this when they interview him. If somebody actually like, no, that's not true.
Yeah, and that's...
What you're saying is a lie. Like,
and that literally is his plan. Like, you can... Again, it's on his website. That is his plan, is he's going to... deport people, and magically that will leave, I mean, that will leave holes in the job market, and not just fucking farming jobs like people think, because he also wants to end visa programs, like the J-1 visa program. There's people who work here who are in the J-1 visa program. So it's not just like farm workers he wants to deport. But that's absolutely his plan, is he's going to say, once these people are gone, that's going to leave holes in the job market. And if we don't fill those right away, the economy will collapse. But fortunately, we have this whole army of unemployed people in the United States who could just come take those jobs. So that's absolutely what he's going to say, is that once we deport people, there will be jobs and we'll give those jobs to them.
That's ignoring three or four important things.
But here's the thing. What bothers me is that no one, I mean, it's great that we're talking about it, but we can't like sit in front of Trump and ask
nobody
him.
Like
none of the people
whose job it is.
Yeah.
To
they
ask
aren't
him these
asking
questions
about
are
any of
not
this.
Doing this.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
he's got, I keep bringing it up, he's got a refugee program for American kids in his immigration plan, where he basically says kids in like Baltimore and Chicago, we're going to get them out of there and move them to better places. How are we not fucking asking him about that? Like, that's a pretty radical policy.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I don't understand.
Exactly.
That.
But it's been there since October, and not one person has gone, hey... What's this
he
about?
It's the language is about the sanctuary cities. He wants to turn them into sanctuary cities for American citizens.
Yeah. And that's when he's going to start turning racism on people, because then they're going to be like, if you're running a sanctuary city now, why wouldn't you rather help people who are already living here, who are in desperate need of help, as opposed to helping people who are here illegally? That's when people are going to have to explain why they're not the racist. And it's going to be tough. Moment of silence for our country.
Yeah, seriously.
Genocide?
Yeah, it's going to be grim. But yeah, you're right. That's like, he basically wants to take all of the facilities and economy that has sprung up as a result of immigration and just give it to Americans. It's like it's a transfer of wealth. It's exactly what his supporters think they don't want. But as long as it's not happening to them, it's all
right. Right, and historically, that...
It will happen.
That has always worked out.
Yeah, it will eventually happen.
Seamless.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be... Yeah, we're not fucking doomed at all, guys. So you think he's going to win? I think he's going to win.
I think he's going to win.
Randall, what do you
think? Yeah, I keep forgetting Hillary exists because of all the Trump coverage. Yeah. That's not good.
I guess he's going
to
win.
I tried to, back when the election start, like all the campaigning really started, I tried to do this, like, organize this presidential election fantasy league on the site. And the problem I kept running into is all the stories were either Trump, and then there'd be like 10 Hillary stories, and there'd be one thing. And like, it was just all, like, there wasn't enough news to go around to make it worth doing. It was just all Trump. So we had to quit. And it's still, it's still the same thing. Like, he's getting all the attention. He's got all that momentum. Like, even Nate Silver said he's going to win now.
Yeah.
That's the Oracle, guys.
Well.
Yeah. I know. Hey, we should do, like, a really special version of comments, because half of this is about how right I was. So, for comments, I'm going to read people's comments from the podcast 6 months ago, dismissing me for being wrong about everything.
What fools they were.
Yeah, and we also have clip.
Does this make the impending Trump presidency easier to swallow for you?
No, it makes it much worse.
Being right about it?
No, it makes it much worse. I wish I was caught off guard like everyone else. I've just been sitting here for months going, no, like watching a bullet in slow motion.
Yeah, it's like the end of 12 Monkeys.
It's exactly like the end of 12 Monkeys.
Yeah, it's the situation. We're about to... stumble into a full-on 12 monkeys situation with the Trump presidency.
Okay. Should we do comments? You know, it's a big world out there. It's easy to feel like the things you say don't matter. I want you to know that's not true. We call this segment Your Voice Matters, where we read your stupid fucking comments from like 9 months ago,
yep,
telling me how dumb I am. You just fucking stop talking about this. And respond to him personally. Fade it out, Brent. Hey, should we play Josh's? I don't even remember what you're commenting on here, but I listened to the podcast again this morning just to get a nice quote from you.
Okay. So, Josh, do you think Trump has a chance to win?
No. I'm like not on board with this premise at all. Like nobody, you never see a candidate this early. The candidate this early who is always like leading never ends up mattering. He's just absorbing all this energy and residual like anti-Obama racism and the remnants of the Tea Party movement and all this just reactionary stuff. But once you get down to people actually having to build platforms and state opinions, he doesn't have anything. He's really good at appealing to what people are afraid of. And that's what he's been doing for decades. It's the basis of all his reality TV shows and every opinion he's ever come on TV is being like, look at this boogeyman. I can help it because I'm rich and I'm Donald Trump. And then he'll fizzle out because, well, how are you going to build a wall? Oh, well, I've built buildings. Like that simplest right, but,
can't wait
thing,
for a giant right, gold like, wall between Mexico and America. Thing,
but he's got he's got explanations in his actual plan for how he would pay for it.
But they're gibberish.
Josh, would you like to say anything?
I mean, it's still true. My reasoning
it's
is just, sound.
It's right. It's not. It's
sorry for having so much faith in the American people, I guess. No, like,
the American people will always let you down.
That's kind of always been my point. Like, why do you have faith in voters now?
Yeah.
Have you never watched American Idol? Like, we can't vote on anything.
They made two Ninja Turtles movies. Like new ones.
But we didn't vote for that.
Oh, didn't we? With our money?
With our dollars? With our ducats?
Like, if there were no restrictions on who could vote for what, and we just voted on everything, like, every burger in America would be named after Hitler. Like, we learn from Reddit polls. Yeah. Like, name our product! And Reddit's like, okay, here goes.
Here we go.
And next thing you know, there's, like, Mountain Dew Ghetto Storm or something. Like
Bodie McBoatface.
Hitler reference.
Like
Storm the Ghetto.
Bodie. Yeah. Yeah, it's just even we're not being racist. We're just being dumb as hell.
Yeah. So anyway, that was Josh.
Yeah, I mean then.
There are some
not wrong.
Yeah.
Like, no, I mean no, it wasn't and like it's not like you were the only person who was like, no, of course he's not gonna get elected. And I mean maybe he still won't. But like even John Oliver. I saw John Oliver on Colbert. Back when all this was starting and Colbert asked him about Trump and whether he's taking it seriously. And John Oliver was like, no. Everybody back then was like, nope, yeah, not taking him serious at all. Well, people, that's not how voting works. Like, you're supposed to take everyone seriously, especially when they start saying Nazi shit.
This is also in a pre-Brexit world we were living in at the time.
That's true.
And that's changed
the crazy,
a lot.
Well, the crazy thing about Brexit, it was like 52%. It's like a very small
right, margin. But I mean, that's kind of
but that's all it takes.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
But it's also like Trump wasn't the only person saying Nazi shit. Like, we can't stop, like, every election, we can't just find the person saying the craziest stuff. I thought that if everybody had taken John Oliver's stance, he wouldn't be here. People would have been like, I'm going to build a wall. Like, that's ludicrous. You can't come to our debate. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to interview you about your ludicrous ideas, and we're not going to pay attention.
We really need fact checkers at these debates. Like, we need moderators.
Like, on site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need moderators to have some fucking integrity.
Yeah.
Yeah, something I've been thinking. Hi, it's me. I'm here.
Hey, Brett.
One of the things that I've been thinking is that three of the most important people over the next 4 months or so are going to be the three moderators of the main debates. Because I remember during, you know, Romney election, I forgot who it was, but one of the moderators, it was a woman from CNN, I believe. I forgot her name. But she did not let Romney back out of stupid questions or stupid answers. And, you know, if we have Anderson Cooper or some smart people doing it, I think those three people could really help frame in America's minds what's going on here.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a consistent thing with every Trump interview, every debate. Nobody's pinning him down. Like, nobody's forcing him to actually explain the stupid racist bullshit that he says.
Yeah, Anderson Cooper is a great example, though, because he's one of the only people who you could really easily right now find a clip of him directly in front of Trump going, hey, that is the argument of a five-year-old. What are you talking
yeah.
about? Like, he literally said that to Trump. So, you know,
there's a good,
he'll be in a concentration camp right along with me.
Oh, yeah,
I'm going to meet Anderson Cooper next year, guys.
There's great. A good Chris Matthews interview where he asks him about his opinions on abortion and should women be punished for abortions, and just him trying to weasel out of answering the question is
he
looks like, like an infant.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's the Republican nominee now.
Yeah, they need a screamer, a moderator who's going to yell, somebody from like the WWE or somebody who's going to like yell.
And Chris
shit.
Matthews,
they can feed something into his earpiece. He can scream out because like Donald Trump is good at brainwashing. Like that's his thing. He through repetition and conviction, he'll just keep saying stuff over and over again until we either believe it or until it's in our brains whether we want it or not. So the idea is just living and growing. And we need somebody who's going to shut him down. And
we can just get
Anderson Cooper, tripped out on steroids.
Just get Jimmy Hart in there.
Just Chris Matthews. He has no indoor voice. Everything he says is a booming projection.
Let's get Anderson Cooper high on bath salts. Let him do it.
Just lock him in a room with Trump.
Completely unhinged. Let's lock Trump in a room with a chimpanzee. And we'll let them debate, and Trump will get all angry, and that chimp will be like, look, I'm about to rip your face off, because that's what we do when we're under pressure. Problem solved. Then we would just have a faceless Trump for president.
Right, right.
I'm like going to eat the portion of your body that's making me uncomfortable.
His machinery underneath would just be exposed, or his lizard skin or whatever. No, Obama's the lizard. We know that.
Right.
Ted Cruz is a lizard.
Well, both.
It's like the most obviously a lizard.
I went to the Denver airport last week.
See Ted Cruz.
Was Ted Cruz there?
Speaking of conspiracies, and right. The people of Denver really don't believe that their airport is the future home of America's world leaders when the apocalypse kicks off.
My Uber ride back to the airport
Brett
Thursday,
was there too.
I was there. My Uber driver was like, man, something's going on with this airport. There's all these bunkers.
Oh, why didn't I have him? Because I brought up the bunkers, and the guy was like, nope, that's just a myth. I'm like, motherfucker, no, it's not. They're there. We just don't know what they're for.
He said it was bunkers with data centers in there storing terabytes, just like full of hard drives and servers holding all of America's information.
Did you say terabytes?
I didn't.
Christopher Nolan Wong.
Opening Christmas 2017. Terabytes. I'd go see that movie. My driver was not on board with the Denver conspiracy.
I don't even know about
what is this?
This bunkers under the Denver.
Let's go back to that episode.
There's a, first of all...
It's like a clip of me explaining it.
Have you seen the murals in the Denver airport? Brett, pull up
yes.
the murals. Okay, those terrifying, like, apocalypse murals?
Oh, yeah, once I was, like, last time I was in the Denver airport, I was just crazy hungover, and I was trying to... That has the laser show and shit is happening on them all the time?
Well, there's... No. There's one, yeah. the crazy Ooh. Army man...
Yeah, I thought I was having an acid flashback or something. I kind of freaked out in the Denver airport once.
Yeah, but there's a better one.
Holy
the one,
shit.
Yeah, that one. Look at that. That is in the Denver Whoa. Airport.
What the fuck is that? And why is it in the Denver
His
airport?
His sword is stabbing a dove, ladies and gentlemen.
in the butt area.
She's kind of into it. The dove is liking
it. While a family of immigrants
yep.
is like cowering.
Clutching a teddy bear.
But no, you know, no reason for... And then the murals, there's a plaque... Can we find the plaque? Because I want to see who it says they're donated by. Just type in Denver Airport.
What is this?
Yeah.
I can't believe
you don't know about this.
No, I've never...
This is the plaque, and look who it says it's from. The time capsule. Can anyone... I'm always at the shittiest angle.
Beneath this stone contains messages and memorabilia to the people of Colorado in 2094.
No, it's the New World Airport Commission contributors.
Is that not the most conspiracy theory looking...
It's,
like,
it's
that
got
looks
like it actually has an Illuminati
symbol
on it.
It's got the Mason symbol on it.
Yeah.
It has New World in the name. Like, it is The most, it looks like a prop from a movie about a conspiracy theory.
Well,
and these are the people who donated those terrifying apocalypse murals to the Denver airport. And there's also a huge series of bunkers under the Denver airport, and no one knows why. I mean, it might be...
It could just very well have been created by a bunch of crazy people who thought, we need to make this the last hope for humanity.
Yeah, yeah.
But why did they take the weird murals? Are they like, okay, thank you. We'll just put these up.
Because when you're trying to get money to build an airport.
Yeah.
But I like that.
They're weird, but they gave us a lot of money.
It's fine. It's fine. We need a place for planes to park.
I like the data center.
In 2094, we're going
to... I like that data center conspiracy, though. Because then, this stuff could just all be... They could have put that there to throw us off.
It's a smoke screen.
That's really also, just
that's where the internet is.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's also part of Captain America Winter Soldier, so I don't know how...
The Denver airport was here first, so maybe Captain America took it from the Denver airport.
Let history decide.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Captain America is older than the Denver airport.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll let the New World Airport Commission decide.
We need some fact checkers in on this.
I don't appeal to fact
checkers.
Those
paintings are insane, though. There's no getting around how insane those paintings are.
I couldn't find the army one. I took a picture of the other one. Oh, yeah, there's also people who claim the runways are in the shape of a swastika.
Are they?
If you, write that. Yeah.
That's not a swastika.
No.
No, that's just runways.
Yeah, that looks like a game of dominoes.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
They're not even pointing in the correct direction. Like, that's just wrong.
Yeah.
Also, it's shaped nothing like a swastika.
No.
Yeah, there's also that. Semantics. I mean, semantics.
Ooh. Is that giant statue of Anubis also at the airport, or is that just a tangential?
Oh, there is a terrifying glowing-eyed horse out front of the Denver airport also.
Jesus.
Sure.
Because, you know, that's how the apocalypse comes, is on horses.
This clearly haunted building. It's fucking a horse in these paintings.
And it's if you read
one haunted ass airport.
Yeah.
Why was the new Ghostbusters not set in this airport?
If you look at the history of it, like, it's way outside of Denver. So when it was built, people are like, okay, one, we have an airport. And two, can we at least build it in Denver somewhere? They're like, nah, we're going to put it in the middle of nowhere.
And also, check out these paintings.
Yeah. And it used to be all flat land, and now there's hills, and that's from the dirt they excavated building the bunkers.
It's just this fire.
Yeah, those murals never get old.
We haven't read a single comment.
There's an we will, but we have time.
It just reminds me of, I remember when Martin Shkreli first came on to, we found out that he existed, and everything he was saying was so insane and evil that I thought he must be right, because if he were evil, he wouldn't be so obviously evil.
Yeah.
But no, it turned out he's really just evil.
No, some people are just evil.
Yeah, but with this, it's like the same thing. I'm like, okay, so if this was actually an evil conspiracy, it wouldn't be so obviously an evil conspiracy.
Yeah, that's why I like that data centers idea. I like that terror bites.
Or maybe it's just a bunker full of Martin Shkreli's.
But I don't know if anyone's ever seen it, but I highly recommend it. Jesse, the former body, Ventura, because he was a governor after that. Jesse Ventura had a show for a while called Conspiracy Theory, where he and his team personally went out into the field to investigate various conspiracy theories. And he goes to the Denver airport in one of them, and he actually gets to the entrance of those bunkers. And he's like, what would you do if I drove past here? And they're like, we'd have to shoot you, I guess.
Jesse the Body Ventura. Yeah.
He gets, the bunkers are there. Like, he gets to the entrance of the facility. And he's just like, what's here? We're not telling you, man.
That's a solid Jesse the Body.
Yeah, thank you.
I wish I was
a goddamn sexual tyrannosaurus.
I wish I was a producer on that show, because then you can get the guy who created that invincible bear suit and be like, all right, we're gonna get somebody wear this. Just drive, just go in, get as far as you can.
Yeah, well, I wish the show would have been that.
Bullets won't stop you.
We're gonna drive through.
Yeah. My bear suit.
You put a GoPro on him, just get
federal crimes.
Yeah,
in a bulletproof.
Yeah, him just attacking the government week after week.
Discovery Channel, if you're listening.
And every week they're like, oh, again, come on. Like an adorable reaction. He's like Dog the Bounty Hunter with government conspiracies.
Getting shit done.
But yeah, his Denver airport episode is fantastic.
Breaking international law.
Because that's the only one where he like confronts a member of the conspiracy. And is like, what are you guys doing? Like it's going to be that easy. Gonna, oh, well, now that there's a camera here, let me tell you all about it. Yeah. And
it's
hope
it's probably something really lame.
Yeah, what I hope...
It's probably just like a bunch of machine parts.
I hope that...
It says Star Wars toys. Yeah.
I hope that A, they could have let him pass, and B, they know exactly what's happening, and it's perfectly innocent. And they were just like, yeah, let's scare him. Like,
yeah.
No, you can't come back. We'll shoot you. We're not going to shoot
or
you.
Right before he turns...
the Denver airport bunkers.
These aren't real guns.
Right before he turned the camera on. Hey, can you just say you're going to shoot me?
They're just storage lockers.
They did just build a train from the Denver airport to downtown Denver. And my Uber driver, who's less into conspiracy theories, was like, maybe they're just for the train. But, like, wouldn't every train need bunkers?
Your Uber driver is clearly in on the conspiracy.
Yeah. I think he's got a bunker lined up.
He's getting a slice of that sweet Denver airport pie.
He's got an apocalypse bunker.
I'm glad you guys made it out of Denver,
when the world explodes.
All right. So we diverted a bit. But, I mean, talking about the apocalypse seems appropriate on a Trump podcast. I do have to read some of these comments. I copied the best ones down. This one from Amanda Murphy is kind of long, but it's worth it. She says, I had just finished listening to the latest episode of the Crack Podcast when I put this on, and I wish that I'd listened to it in the opposite order. Dan O'Brien addressed pretty much every point that you brought up in your podcast this week on the Crack Podcast, and he has me pretty convinced that Trump is nothing to worry about. Me and Dan addressed this in a video a couple months ago. So I got to be honest, this week's episode was a little boring, especially since you're preaching to the choir. No one listening to your podcast is white supremacist or a Trump supporter. And if they are, they would stop listening after the first 2 minutes. No one brought up any new or controversial points about Trump. And saying that Trump is scary would be a terrible president is just stating the obvious. Thank you, as always, of course, for making the podcast. In general, I love it. Weak episode this week. Not that anyone asked for my opinion. No,
this woman just doesn't understand how the internet works. She thinks that no one listening to your podcast is a white supremacist.
Yeah.
That's every also, podcast,
statistically speaking,
every podcast has a
at
white
least
supremacist audience.
One
if you have two listeners, one of them is a white supremacist.
Also, you don't have any new opinions, but she just said that she listened to your. It's like, well, Dan O'Brien said everything you said, but I mean, I listened to it afterwards. So it's like,
yeah, she had another really long comment too, but I'm
boo.
We love you, Amanda Murphy, but you were very wrong about Trump.
Yeah, she was such a fool to think that about Trump.
You foolish fool.
Yeah. A lot of white supremacists listen to us. Thank you very much. We have a very diverse audience.
I have a dedicated following of white supremacists on my
you
column.
You called them right supremacists.
Oh no.
Freudian slip.
It's the same
Josh
thing.
Check out Josh's column today about why he's voting for Trump. Or maybe it's why other people, I don't know. This was such a common argument back then. Some dude named Jack Death says, you're completely ignoring the fact that Trump doesn't want to be president. That would be too much work. He'd rather be the guy to pick the president. He's going to drop out before the primaries due to some vague family medical issue. You're getting worked up over nothing. I like how my shit I was saying back then was based on like reading everything Trump said, and this dude's just so confident that some vague family emergency is going to come up.
So yeah,
like,
so
what are you basing that on?
Right,
you know that thing he's never done.
Yeah,
yeah. This is everyone's arguing your facts with conjecture.
I would not be surprised if he gets elected and then like abdicates.
No, once he's elected, I feel like he's going to be our last president.
Yeah,
like I'm on Johnny Depp's side of that argument. I think he'll just. Because one of the other things that no one is calling out, he said it in his speech. He kind of coded it in his speech. He said, when I'm in office, one of my first orders of business is, he said something about any politician who refuses to put America first will no longer be running this country. But he said more explicitly in an interview that one of the first things he's going to do is go through and gut the government of anyone who doesn't agree with him. Like, anyone who disagrees with his policies can't be a politician anymore. That's literally the first thing Hitler did. Like, because once you do that, what's stopping you from doing anything?
Right.
Like, we technically have checks and balances in place, but this is obviously someone who's not afraid to circumvent those.
Yeah, and also, he wouldn't have to. Like, we have laws that are still on the books where you can do whatever you want to a person or a group of people if you define them as being an enemy of America or a threat to American life. It's just as vaguely worded as that. I mean, it's the same pretense that FDR used to put Japanese Americans into internment camps, and Trump cited that as like a victory for America in one of his speeches. He like cited FDR putting Japanese Americans into internment camps as like a victory for Americans and like American safety, even though not a single person that was put into an internment camp was ever found to be any kind of spy or double agent or any being involved in any anti-American activities. So he wouldn't even have to set a precedent. Like, he could just say, I mean, it's the same thing for people who are in Guantanamo Bay. All he has to say is, you're a threat to America, and then do whatever you want. And throw you in prison and never charge you with anything.
And it still stands. We've still found it constitutionally okay to just round people.
Yeah, no, we can totally do that. It's still a law that is absolutely on the books.
Yeah.
We never got rid of it.
One especially troubling thing that happened recently, Obama, all of his immigration stuff got overturned by the Supreme Court. And you could either take that as a good sign or a bad sign, because up to that point, the Supreme Court had had given presidents pretty much blanket control over immigration. Like, that was a thing they just did not get involved in. And this was one of the first times the Supreme Court was like actually weighed in on it. So it's good in a sense that they've set that precedent that now maybe the Supreme Court could step in if Trump wants to impose some crazy immigration law. They could maybe step in and say no, but he's also probably going to get to appoint that next Supreme Court nominee.
Well, it's not only that. Like, he's said more than once that he's going to flood the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Or swamp the Supreme Court or whatever. So it's like, he's not banking on just appointing one judge.
No.
His quote was, I'm going to flood the Supreme Court with real laws and justices, I think. He said it on Twitter.
It's something to that
effect. He basically promised to Zerg rush the judiciary branch of government.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just comforting to see that he understands how this works. Or cares about how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of a bad precedent that the Supreme Court weighed in. I feel like either way, they would have just set the precedent that Trump could do whatever he wanted.
Did you say bad president?
Whoa!
Hey-o!
There
you go.
There it is. Lindsay says, do you guys have any faith in your fellow Americans? You really think that your country would elect a complete moron like Trump?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
We established that I was a fool to have faith in.
Yeah, no, you should. You should. If you learn nothing else today, it's that you should never have faith in anything
ever.
What I learned today is that Endless Nameless is like a deep cut.
Shut up about Endless Nameless.
Nobody here is going to give you credit for knowing.
I didn't think it was
not
credit.
Even their best album.
It was just it's just a crazy long ridiculous song, and that was a good example to compare to the fucking thing. And he's mad at me and think I'm trying to go for like cred because I know a Nirvana song.
Right.
Come on, like the biggest band of the
90s. One of the best-selling albums of all time.
Yeah. Giving you the pitchfork
real
treatment
deep
over
cut.
Here.
Are you impressed?
Real like, deep
no,
cut.
No, I'm trying to impress anybody. I've listened to Nevermind more than once.
I bet
read
you heard
the liner
of,
notes.
I bet you heard of Led Zeppelin too. You elitist.
My favorite album's the White Album.
The White Album's a really good album. Though.
Yeah, no,
I don't know why.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, Happiness is a Warm Gun. Come on. Great songs. Some of my favorite John Lennon songs. We're going to talk about this again in 6 months when Trump.
What, John Lennon?
When Trump addresses the nation and says the White Album is the best album.
It's now the only album anyone's allowed to own.
Does he like music? I think he's confessed that he's never read a book, right?
He certainly seems to like Queen.
Well, that could be like his campaign people, though. That's like.
No, he said in a Vanity Fair, there was a Vanity Fair reporter in the 90s. Asked him about a rumor that he slept with a copy of Hitler's second book on nightstand for years. And his response was, who told you about that? And then he went on to describe the guy who gave him the book.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he said he's also
a Jew.
He was not a Jew. Yeah, but he was not a Jew. So fact check, nitpicking fat checks, you know, was the guy who gave him Mein Kampf a Jew or not? What's it matter? It matters.
It super matters. It's not Mein Kampf. It's a follow-up to Mein Kampf.
Oh, yeah. It's I forgot what it was called.
So Hitler was trying to... I mean, not Hitler. Donald Trump was trying to get some cred.
It's a book of Hitler's speeches. Mm. Because if there's one thing we don't want Donald Trump to harness, it's Hitler's speaking power. That's not what we want.
No.
I felt...
I think Rudy Giuliani got that, though, right?
Yeah.
He went full Hitler.
He did go full Hitler.
Yeah, he seemed like he was the one auditioning to be the guy who gets to kill the Mexicans.
He was like... He was screaming like a crazy person.
No mistake what job he wants. He wants to run immigration and customs in the Trump White House.
The one that kills all the Mexicans.
Yeah.
The Mexicutioner.
Oh, yes! That would be great.
That's he was really, really, really lobbying for that job.
That's going to be Trump. I think
that's going to be Robert Rodriguez next movie starring Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo
or
the Mexicutioner
or Johnny Depp. One of the two.
I'm talking about Johnny Depp so much.
No,
Jesus.
Well, I like.
He's not going to be on your podcast.
They're not going to make a Lone Ranger 2. No, go to hell. That's
probably true.
They might.
No,
I'm holding out hope.
They're still forcing out that fifth Pirates movie.
Oh, I haven't seen any of those movies.
Absolutely,
someone high five me.
No, okay. I think we've all seen it. Everyone else has seen all of them.
Filmed where I grew up.
Shut the fuck up!
Like on a pirate ship
on Beckwith.
You're still going for this cred?
Yeah, brought up Pirates of the Caribbean. Like,
yeah. Listen, I just grew up on a pirate ship. Listen to
true,
really obscure Nirvana songs.
Listening to Nevermind,
stuff like that. This is so much fun. We are, we should wrap it up, right? I don't want to read. I wanted to read these comments, but fuck these people. I'm not reading.
Yeah, they're all comments. Stupid. Look at this.
Dismissing me back then. Yeah, this one from Juan Carlos Gutierrez was especially infuriating. I think I responded to it like with a long paragraph back then and then deleted it because I was so mad.
What did he say?
He said, Adam, it's not that we don't care. We do, but you have to understand this issue outside of what you think is right. You've been talking about Trump for over a month to the point of not only being boring but unbearable. Your guests agree, sort of. Others don't. But all in all, it doesn't matter.
Wait. Your guests agree, sort of, but others don't?
Yeah.
Like, the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah. That's how life works.
The comments the comments that fucking give you career advice are the most
egregious. Yeah, yeah. And he goes on, Trump is not going to get the Republican nomination, even if he goes independent. He won't have more than 30% of the popular vote, and that's me being generous. And then he says, at the 11 o'clock hour...
political analyst.
At the 11 o'clock hour of the Democratic National Convention, if Hillary doesn't step up, Joe Biden will be the next U.S. president. What? He should have led with that, so I could have known not to read the
just
rest.
Just immediately dismiss the rest of it.
Yeah, I think Joe Biden probably...
pretty quickly said, no, I'm not going to run.
I think he's probably the only candidate anyone took less seriously than Trump.
Yeah.
We're like, Biden for president? Come on.
No, that's
the guy from Obama? No.
All those Obama
memes? The guy from all the Onion articles?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even play the part from Trump's speech where he specifically talks about Ferguson.
Let's do that real quick.
Yeah, let's listen to that on the way out. Just so we can bask a little more in how right I was.
Right.
By saying that
where he mentions city names but doesn't mention he doesn't actually say anything about black people, and he talks about public servants being killed but doesn't say anything about Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Stunning. This administration has failed America's inner cities. Remember, it has failed America's inner cities.
Inner cities, wink wink.
Nothing Trump, it's failed them on education. Nothing Trump knows more than inner cities.
It's failed them on jobs. It's failed them in crime. It's failed them in every way and on every single level. When I am president, I will work to ensure that all of our kids are treated equally and protected equally.
Like how he specifically had rules to not rent apartments to black people? Like, that's how he's going to...
Every action I take, I will ask myself...
I feel like he got 25% applause on that.
Does this make better for young Americans in Baltimore, in Chicago, in Detroit, in Ferguson?
What are those places
all have in common? Really, in every way, folks, the same right to live out their dreams as any other child in America.
That's probably the most radical thing that was said at the Republican National Convention.
He's gonna talk about inner city violence, but not say a thing about gun control. He's going to lump Ferguson in with Detroit and Baltimore, Chicago, which I don't believe has the same.
His gun control plan is scary too. Also on his website, it's basically mandatory minimums, just like we did with crack, because that's what Tim Kaine, mayor of Richmond, Richmond, Virginia, had a program that Trump references in his gun plan as being the model that he wants to base national gun policy on. And it involves like a minimum 5-year prison sentence for any crime involving a gun. So like if you get pulled over for DUI and you have an unregistered gun in the car, you're going to jail for 5 years. That's crazy.
Damn.
Good luck, America.
Yeah, that's this fucking asshole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's going to be good times. Do we have anything to plug? I swear that podcast about the things we have to announce is coming up soon. Maybe this Friday. We're doing exciting things. Right, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa.
I'll be there.
There it is. Other than that, I don't have anything to plug. I'll be at the Darkest Hour, August something. Second Friday in August. Come see that. Tom, you have anything to plug?
Mm-mm.
God damn it. Randall.
Say it. I'm on Twitter. You can find me on if you go to twitter.com, I'm on there.
Are you playing a recording from last time you were on the podcast? Because that's literally what you said last time.
Yeah, and if you go, you can I tweet a lot there, and that's where you can keep up with all the stuff that I do.
With everything going on, all your tweets and stuff.
And I put other stuff in the tweets about what I'm doing and everything. So like if you go to Twitter,
Twitter,
check me out on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's analog.
Yeah. No more tape. It's real to real.
Josh, do you have anything to plug?
Yeah, follow my Debunk Trump Twitter account at Debunk Trump, or me at JF Sargent, where I talk about Nirvana trivia.
And how you don't understand Pokemon, you fucking idiot.
What?
I'm not very good at Pokemon. Randall and I had a Pokemon battle on Twitter the other day.
Why would you battle Randall in Pokemon?
He started it.
No, you started it.
I did not.
No, Randall finished it.
I did not start it.
This is the worst thing that's ever happened in the show.
Randall started it. Walking down a trail, and then a little exclamation point popped up above Randall's head, and he's like,
"That's Metal Gear. Fucking all of you go to hell."
No, there was the green diamond was above Josh's head.
World of Warcraft.
Josh,
what's even happening?
Josh had the green diamond above his head.
This is terrible.
Yeah. He turned yellow because I peed myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Say goodbye, Tom.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Brett.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Randall.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Josh.
Goodbye.
And say goodbye, America.
Yes.
Goodbye, America.
Say goodbye, America.
Yeah.
We loved you.
It's over too soon.
Yeah,
it's over too soon.